meow,
meow, meow,
meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed yeah, you know what kind of bunker I'm in. This is Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster. On the other end of the Anarcha tubes, we got Diana Kyler. How are you, Diana?
Meow.
Yeah, you're the laughing kitty. You're the laughing kitty. That's your wrestling name on the inner tubes.
Yep. Watch out, though, because that sounds all tame and everything, but... Yeah. Yeah, I can throw down.
Okay, cool. Well, you know, when a cat's actually laughing at you, I think something really big is about to happen. It's not necessarily really dangerous, but it's really big. I wouldn't trust a laughing kitty.
No, should never. In fact, what is that thing that if you put it into Google, my picture comes up? I don't remember what it was. It was
something really weird and unrelated to you. What was it?
It was an evil, like the top 10 evil things of the world countdown. Oh, yeah, or something.
I searched 7 signs of evil. I was looking for picture for an episode Davi and I did where we did it wasn't the 7 signs of evil. It was the 7 deadly sins and how the state has all of them. And we decided that there was an 8th deadly sin, which was. What did we decide it was? I know that we've decided there's a 9th one that we're going to do at some point. But the 8th one was the hamster in your brain. It was obsessing on anything. Mm-hmm. And basically, the 7 deadly sins talk about how... there's a thing in the AA 12 and 12 book that talks about how, you know, when you're taking a moral inventory, take the 7 deadly sins and see how you've had them in your life. And it basically says that all of them... are natural impulses taken to a corrupt extreme, like, you know, gluttony, like you have to eat to live, but gluttony will kill you. You know, lust, you have to have sex to procreate and have a loving relationship. But, you know, lust is that gone awry and, you know, things like that. So we decided that the hamster in your brain is the 8th deadly sin because it is basically the idea of invention, like being able to mull something over in your brain and solve a complex problem. You know, one of the things that makes humans different from other mammals, although, you know, some higher primates might have it. But that basically when that thing goes awry, it becomes obsession and becomes the hamster in your brain that keeps you up at night thinking about one thing.
Yeah. You know, that makes a lot of sense to me. But I would say that actually comes under the heading of pride.
Yeah, they're all kind of interrelated. Davi pointed that out, too. He said it was the 7 deadly Venn diagrams because they all kind of overlap. But Davi now decided that the 9th deadly sin is Schadenfreude. I don't know how you say it, but it's the German word for taking pleasure at the misery of others.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's a real – I think it's a lot of what drives the police industrial complex, you know, because voters don't just vote – for we need more protection. They vote for like really mean protection. Like a lot of voters are happy when some, you know, guy growing pot in his backyard gets arrested and thrown in a cage. And they're really joyful at the shamefully joyful when somebody, you know, questions a cop like, come on, man, you're really going to give me a ticket. I'm in a hurry. I'm going to a job interview. I don't have any money. Why are you going to give me a ticket? And the cop ends up tasing him and beating him up and throwing him in prison. You know, there's a lot of people who get off on that. They have a libido dominandi. So we are going to do a 2-hour. Yeah, they have a hard on for evil, man. They have a hard on for domination. And, you know, most people don't have the ability to do any kind of. I'm not talking about kink, man. That's pleasant.
I know.
You know, what a man and a woman or a man and a tree or a woman and a woman do in the privacy of their own home is none of my business. But. We'll have dogs marrying trees if gay marriage is legalized. But, a lot of people get a hard-on for corruption and tyranny. And they don't have the ability to do it in their life because they're mild-mannered, you know, puss cats. So they outsource it to the state, and they get Schadenfreude from that. I don't even know how you say that, but it's something like that.
I think you're saying it correctly. Schadenfreude.
Yeah. There should be Schadenfreude too, which is like the shame at having Schadenfreude. Like when because you know all of the seven deadly sins kind of make you drunk. Like you know anger, envy. They all give you a kind of an endorphin rush that mm-hmm. you come down from, and it feels really poisonous. And then
you come down hard from those things too.
Yeah,
I used to be a rage addict.
Yeah, well, you know they say in the AA book that. I don't know. Do we want to go into this? They say in the AA book too that those are luxuries that normal men can afford that alcoholics cannot.
Yeah. Yep.
I've heard people talk in meetings.
I don't think normal people can afford them.
That's
either.
What I was gonna. You know, I've actually thought that too. Like it destroys non-alcoholics. But
oh yeah, of course. It's just that they don't know why.
But alcoholics have a, you know, kind of like special rage for it. You know, a lot of people with substance abuse problems. You know, when somebody cuts you off in traffic, the average person will like curse them and, you know, hope they die and be really angry at them. But by the time they get to work, they forgot about it. But, you know, sometimes like people with substance abuse problems or other mental issues, like 3 years later, they'll be like plotting that person's demise.
Yeah, that's worms. Always been kind of strange to me. Now I could totally see having, I've had revenge fantasies before, but not for that long. Thank goodness, you know, and it certainly wasn't over something like somebody cutting me off in traffic.
Yeah.
Maybe stealing my boyfriend.
Yeah. So that's nothing.
I don't indulge in those things anymore. I don't think any of those things are good for alcoholics, normal people, aliens.
Wait, what about whatever. Boyfriend? I missed the boyfriend comment.
Oh, I was just saying that I would have revenge fantasies about, you know, like people. I don't think I've ever actually had anybody steal a boyfriend, but I've had revenge fantasies about over people just doing me wrong in some way, shape, or form.
I don't know. I would say that if like somebody's spouse is wooed away by somebody else and they were a friend and came to me and like I'd be like, yeah man, I understand your anger, but basically isn't that the market in action?
Right.
Yeah,
true that. Yeah, definitely. But yeah, so here we are. I just got home today from Orlando.
Yay. From and Coignets in the kingdom.
Coignets in the kingdom, yeah. Coignet.
Coins in the kingdom. You went to a Bitcoin event.
I did.
It was. You've been to a bunch of these events, and you said you liked this one the best, right?
This is actually. I mean, I've been to several Bitcoin and Liberty themed events, and as far as Bitcoin events, I've only been to three, and I would say that this was my favorite, and I believe that Ian Freeman also said this was his favorite, and I'd wager that he's been to quite a few more of these than I have. Yeah, it was so good, and it was the first one, and it was organized by MK. Lords and Jason King, and
it went
you know, I don't know, you know, a lot of times when you have a first time, you know, you have a lot, it tend to have a lot of problems and issues that have to be hashed out, you know, and there may have been problems and issues, but I was not aware of them, and that to me is kind of, you know, that's evidence of a good, you know, well put on, you know, event. So if they can hide all the issues behind the scenes, then they've done a good job.
Yeah, we had MK Lords on The Fiends with our
remote. Yeah, I was there.
You were there.
But I couldn't hear anything you were saying to her,
I'm not just talking. So. You forget that we're not just two people having a conversation. We're on the radio. I was speaking to the audience.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I accidentally called her.
I do forget that.
Which is kind of, I think, the benchmark of good radio in a way. It should be so conversational that you forget there's an audience.
But now I'm remembering, and now I'm really nervous.
Well, we didn't get at it. We're only on three. We're on 28 stations on the 29 stations on the weekends now, but we're only on three stations at night, and we're actually right now. No, we're on four. Right now we're on three. We're on three at night, but only one for the first hour. So,
oh wow,
whatever weirdos are still awake in Cairo, Illinois / Paducah, Kentucky, that haven't had to pawn their radio yet because the government destroyed the economy in those two towns by making it a one economy town. It was a I think they refined something with making nuclear bombs or something. And the government closed the plant. So it's an economically messed up town. And, you know, I hope that the people there can use Bitcoin in creative ways to get out of their, you know, why let the government ruin your economy is what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But starting in the second hour, we add two stations.
Right.
One in Sundance, Wyoming, and one in Belle Fourche, South Dakota. But as of next week, a week from tonight, actually a week from two nights ago, we're starting on four stations in the St. George, Utah area on the night show live for both hours.
Nice. Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, man. So was there
that a
– go ahead.
Oh, no, I just, you know, you had said that before, and I was very excited about that. So that's all. I don't know.
Was there a Dogecoin panel at Coins in the Kingdom?
Not that I'm aware of. I didn't see every single panel that was there, you know, obviously. But I don't think there was Doge. Isn't it Doge?
It's Doge.
Why are you saying that?
Doge. It's Doge.
Doge.
That's how
somebody kept saying Doji.
Well, since it's a mispronunciation of dog, I think any mispronunciation would be acceptable to the judges.
Right.
I don't know. It kind of seems to me like, you know, there've been a lot of altcoins, and some of them that had features that Bitcoin didn't have, like a friendly dog face, or like, you know, like Namecoin, the ability to do decentralized DNS with it. But I fought really hard for Namecoin. I worked on both the Free Speech Me project and the Meowbit project, which were both software for viewing decentralized .bit domains, and they just didn't catch on, man. I was really surprised. It kind of seems like Bitcoin has just won. It's the only one that matters to most people.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you hear about – I'm not sure if this actually happened or not, but apparently – I haven't seen it in the news, and I haven't, you know, actually looked for this today, but that Patrick Byrne, the CEO of Overstock, was that there was some speculation that he was going to start his own token using Counterparty.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know if you've heard anything about that.
No, I'm a BitShares man myself. I'm actually on their board or on their team. I did some work for
them.
Oh,
cool.
Yeah. But we'll talk about the war of the coins when we get back from this trip to the market. Meow.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This is Mr. Michael Dean, broadcasting from beautiful, sunny, downtown Beast Lick, Wyoming.
Is it cold up there?
That's kind of a vague question. I mean, right now it's above freezing, so a few degrees.
Yeah.
It's It can get brutally cold here. I grew up with snow. I grew up on the Great Lakes, and you know, I grew up, you know, where some of like the biggest snow is in the country, but it's not the coldest or the windiest, and Wyoming is much colder and windier. It gets to, I mean, it's, you know, where I grew up, it was pretty much 10 to 20 degrees Fahrenheit the whole winter, and it snowed, you know, like late November, and pretty much stayed snow on the ground and stayed cold until, you know, the thaw in March. And Wyoming,
and you grew up in New York, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And Wyoming's weird. Wyoming's like, I mean, it's already snowed twice this year and thawed, and it never snows where I live for the whole winter. You know, it'll snow and thaw and snow and thaw, but it snows earlier and later. You know, it snows earlier in the year and later in the following year than where I grew up. And it's often, like in the winter, you know, it could be like 50 degrees on Christmas here. It was never 50 degrees where I grew up. And it was always snow where I lived.
Right. And so it lacks consistency where you live now is what you're saying.
But it can get It's been, you know, 39 degrees below zero was the coldest night in the 5 years I've lived here. And 20 below zero is not uncommon at night. Mm-hmm. And right now there's no wind, but there are probably 75 to 100 days a year here where we get wind gusts above 50 and like a solid wind that's like 25 to 30 miles an hour all day and all night for like a week.
Wow.
Yeah, man. It's it's rugged. It's hell on wheels, brother.
When I was in Orlando, it got chilly at night. And by chilly, it was probably, I don't know, in the low 60s or something like that. And I was kind of complaining a lot about the cold. And I'm in Orlando, Florida, complaining about the cold. So I'm a little bit of a wuss. And I'm talking about moving to New Hampshire. So
are you?
Yeah.
Do tell.
I'm a signer.
Yeah, I signed like 5 years ago and I'm not moving.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying people at Sign shouldn't move. My plans just changed.
Yeah.
My plans just changed.
Well, I don't know when I'll move, but I'm thinking right now what I'm thinking is living there. Because Christian and I have been talking about doing the RV thing like Ben Stone does. Ben Stone and Cindy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so our thought is to live up there in various RV parks throughout the summer and then, you know, go south for the winter kind of thing. So but I feel like I really need to have the experience of living in New Hampshire through a winter. I just need to have that experience. I need to be able to say, yeah, I did that.
You just got a lot clearer. Did you get more on the mic or is it an internet issue?
It might be an internet issue. I'm not sure because I haven't really moved. I have my spot that I'm sort of right here at the mic that I don't really move.
Totally internet.
It's the internet, the board op, the voice of God comes in. He's looking at big old fashioned steampunk meters on the wall, probably. Interwebs. Yeah. I remember this piece of equipment that I used to see in recording studios sometimes. It was pretty awesome. It was an analog device for measuring the speed of a drummer, of whether he's or she is speeding up or slowing down. And it was called a Russian Dragon because it would see whether you're Russian or dragon with your playing. It was awesome. Cool. And it was a box, probably like half the size of a six pack or something. And it had LEDs on it. They might not have even been LEDs. This might have been before LEDs. And it was like, it looked like a meter, like they were kind of in a half arc array. Mm-hmm. And if it was like dead in the middle on the green one, you were on beat, and if you were anywhere to the right, you were Russian, and if you were anywhere to the left, you were dragon. It was called a Russian dragon.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Russian dragon.
So tell me more about...
I like that.
I need one of those for my brain.
Wow.
Yeah. We'll be back. Yeah. We'll be back. Can't get rid of us that easy. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Welcome to the libertarian reindoctrination camp that is the Freedom Fiends. Had too much of the state. State got you down. State brainwashing you. Just put on the Freedom Fiends on a 24/7 loop. Keep it on in the background the way that, like, you know, lefties have NPR on all the time. Even when they make sweet, sweet love, they keep NPR on. It's true, man. I grew up in the Bay Area. I didn't grow up there. I sowed my oats there.
Listening to NPR.
I was subjected to it.
I still listen to it sometimes. They have some good shows on there sometimes.
Hello, you're listening to Delicious Dish.
Delicious Dish.
Today, we're going to be discussing the disease of libertarianism. There yeah. are actually people who believe that taxes are aggression.
And theft.
Yeah. So I don't want to.
At the point of a gun.
I don't want to talk about how many libertarians can dance on the head of a pin. I don't want to have long discussions about the non-aggression principle. I just want to hear about the Coins in the Kingdom event / party that you attended in yeah. Disney World Land, which is, what's the Florida one?
Worms World.
Yeah. So tell me more about it.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
All right. Then that's our show. I'm kidding.
It was really a lot of fun. And one of the things that kind of popped in my head one evening was that in this community, in the Bitcoin community, in the Liberty community, and whenever they combine, which is kind of how it was at this one, it's like I feel like I'm around the most interesting people that I've ever been around in my life.
The most interesting place on earth, Coins right. in the Kingdom.
The most interesting people in the world. Yeah, it really does feel like that, and I feel smarter just being around them. So yeah, I mean,
by osmosis, you get knowledge.
By osmosis, I just kind of get smart. I feel smart. I'm like, well, gosh, if I'm here, I must be smart too. Wow, you know, I don't know.
I just had a really corrupt thought. I was just kidding. I remember being in an
AA. Is this shareable?
It's probably back when I went to AA meetings. I remember being at this meeting, and there was this guy who was kind of. At meetings, sometimes they have people who kind of like, you know, it's supposed to be anonymous and it's supposed to be like principles over personalities. But, you know, there's always one or two people in the meeting who are kind of the rock stars of the meeting.
Oh, yeah.
There was this guy who was like that. And he was mm-hmm. kind of like ex-punk rocker, weirdo, weightlifter, skater. I'm not talking about me. It was a very charismatic guy. And uh-huh. I mean, people kind of flocked to him. A lot of people hated him, but people kind of flocked to him. And he... Mm-hmm. He had it. He had the message. He could convey it. He could transmit it one person to another. And he's a really good speaker and really strange. I mean, I sat in meetings with him for 6 months while he sat in the back of the room with a needle and thread and tattooed his entire chest and face over a period of about 6 months sitting in meetings.
Oh, my goodness.
And he tattooed like a kitty cat face on his face. It was really strange.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't your typical, like, you know, charismatic weirdo in an AA meeting. I mean, someone made mm-hmm. a documentary about this guy. There's a film about him. But I remember him sharing at this meeting. And, you know, as soon as it was done, they opened it up for questions. And this newly sober, probably stripper girl stood up and she said, she was just gushing with like joy at what he'd said. And she said, "Your message, the way you tell the message is so amazing. I wish I could get that. I wish I could just suck it out of you."
Oh, gosh.
And it was just like, it wasn't that weird, but it was weird that it was public. Like, she was basically propositioning him in the room full of people. And it was weird. It was like, it was mostly a gay lesbian meeting, too. Mm-hmm. I just went because it was at lunch and I could go to it while I was working. But yeah, man, it was weird.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting person. I love interesting people. Absolutely love them.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was a lot of fun. I tend to, whenever I travel, something always happens to me physically. And I don't know why. It's like I either fall because I tend to be a little clumsy and I'm really good at falling. I tend to fall and I not hurt myself. But I was sitting outside during, I don't know, some break or something. I just kind of went outside to get some sun and met up with a friend that I'd met there, Tim Frey. I don't know if you know who he is or not, but and we were just sitting there talking, and I didn't realize it, but my left foot was slowly being consumed by fire ants.
Well, it's because it's your left foot. Those are
my left foot.
The conservative ants were cleansing the leftist evil of your left foot.
Yeah, it was just my left foot too. It wasn't my right foot. They were both there, right there together, you know, and it's just, they seem to be very attracted to my left foot.
I'm sorry. I'm interrupting and talking about politics. Okay. I shouldn't be. I think we're required by the FCC once an hour on conservative talk radio to say that Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. Okay, let's go back to talking about the party you went to and the ants that ate your foot.
The ants that ate my foot, and I didn't realize it. And I didn't realize that they were biting me until I felt pretty intense pinch, and I looked down and there were these ants on my foot. And I now have, and this was, I don't know, 2 days ago, my foot is now bandaged.
Wow.
At this point, yeah, I was yesterday went to the Salvador Dali Museum in St. Petersburg, and my foot had started swelling. The bites had turned into these blisters, and now, you know, the blisters are all have all, you know, it's really disgusting. It's so nasty.
Well, but, at least it's interesting. Usually when people talk about their health issues, I don't want to hear it, but, you know.
Yeah, it's really, really gross.
You ever notice in the country, it's probably the same in the South, but in the Mountain West, like you'll be at the post office and they'll start telling you about their operations and their families their families' pustules and ointments and unguents. What is that? What is with that, man?
It's like, know.
I got things to do and people to be, man. Let me out of here.
Yeah, and my injuries tend to come from me actually participating in life. So.
Yeah.
I was walking down the street last weekend, not this past weekend, but the weekend before in San Antonio, Texas, and I just fell down. I just fell. you know, no reason, just fell. Actually, I tripped on my flip-flop, which I tend to do, but anyway, so yeah, it was awesome. There were four speakers that I made a point to be there and be there on time to hear their talks, and one of them was Davi Barker, and he talked
also a Freedom Fiends co-host.
Also a Freedom Fiends co-host, and he gave a really awesome talk on branding. And by branding, I mean
you're not talking about like when you go to the kink seminar or the biker seminar, and they're giving a seminar on branding.
Not that
it's
kind of branding.
A different kind of branding. Okay.
No, it's not that kind of branding. Although obviously the term, you know, branding comes from, you know, branding cows and things like that. But you know, he talked about, you know, what looks good and
did you know that there are actually still legal cases in Wyoming and Montana fairly regularly of like basically trademark issues over cattle brands?
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. No. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that was an awesome talk, but I'm not going to talk about that here because, you know, he may want to talk about it and I don't want to steal his thunder, but then
because here's the thing about everyone on the Fiends. Everyone on the Fiends has such a strong personality that they could tell the same story back to back twice in a row and it would be interesting. You're not going to steal his thunder if you talk a little bit about what he was going to talk about.
Okay, well, I didn't really prepare anything.
And you also have to remember, on radio, different people hear it all the time. It's different than the internet audience.
That's true. So, that's true.
All right, then, okay, you don't need to do it if you don't have it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I didn't recognize you're out of not having prepared for it.
It's okay.
We're not in the same room, people. We're like on the opposite end of the country.
What's funny about that is people that have heard us, they assume that we're together, that we're sitting in a radio studio.
Have you talked to people who said that?
Yeah. They assume that we're in the same place. Oh, we're, you know, so does Michael Dean live in North Carolina too? And I'm like, no, he actually lives in Wyoming. Well, how do you people do this? How do you make this work? How does this happen?
Well, this would be a good place for me to plug my new video. I just did a 90-minute video on how you can do this. Because we're basically the first radio show to do this, to have 12 rotating co-hosts with one main host, 7 nights a week, over Skype, using common off-the-shelf inexpensive equipment, and doing it really well. There are a lot of people that could benefit from this video. If you go to creamyradioaudio.com, that's creamyradioaudio.com. And look at the top post, the Freedom Fiends Guide to Podcasting. And if you're listening to this later and it's not live, you can go to creamyradioaudio.com and click on the page link at the top, How the Freedom Fiends Record and Broadcast. Mm-hmm. And I've done 2 videos, one on all the audio stuff and one on the website end of it. So other people could do this too. And, you know, I see so many... And you don't have to be a radio person or even a podcaster to benefit from it. Like if you make YouTube videos, like I was watching this YouTube video today. It was a debate between Jacob Hornberger and I don't know, some other libertarian that is probably about the same age as me. But I look at these guys like, that guy seems old. Yeah, who was that? And it was like, you know, it was guys that are like way better known than I am. Or one of them is at least. And it's like, they're doing a YouTube split screen discussion or debate. And it's like, they don't sound good, man. I'm like, come on, you guys, you don't even need to spend money to make this sound better. You just need to take 5 minutes of care, maybe a $50 microphone and a $12 mic stand and some 50 mm-hmm. cent pop filters. But I can't believe how much bad audio there is out there. And people don't realize, what they don't realize is that if you're making video with audio, or if you're making audio only stuff, or even if you're just like talking to clients over Skype, if that's part of your work, if you have good sound, you're going to make more money. You're going to have more of an impact. Even if people don't consciously say, wow, you sound great. If you sound good, if your audio is good, they're going to want to stay on and talk to you longer. They're going to want to listen to your message more. They're going to subconsciously want to tell other people about it more.
Yeah.
I can't believe, I'm just astonished and appalled at how many people don't even bother to get good audio.
Yeah. I have issues talking with people on the phone, because most of the time it's the sound, especially the cell phone, because the sound goes in and out, especially if you're traveling, you might, get some, dead air at some point, sometimes you hear a lot of background noise. It drives me insane. I hate talking on the phone. I really do.
Yeah. I have worked kind of hard to make my phone sound better. I have a landline. Yeah. I have a landline, and I've actually tried a bunch of different phones, and I have a good phone. It's a Panasonic phone, and it wore out at one point, and I got the same one again because I spent all day on the phone.
Yeah, landlines do sound better. Yeah, landlines sound better. So.
Worms. We'll be back.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Get out of here, kitties. Okay. So this is Freedom Fiends, and I'm talking with Diana Kyler, and she's gonna talk. I've been yakking too much, so
that's okay.
I did want to finish up with who were the libertarian rock stars who were doing a podcast, quote unquote podcast, a vodcast on YouTube, and sounding horrible. One was I'm only saying this because it's tough love, man. If anybody knows these cats, send them to Creamy Radio Audio and send them to the Freedom Fiends Guide to Podcasting and Radio. The other guy's name, it was Jacob Hornberger and Sheldon Richman. Now, Sheldon Richman is the president of the Future of Freedom Foundation, or FFF, and he has written for The Washington Post, The Wall Street Journal, Chicago Tribune, USA Today, Washington Times, Christian Science Monitor, Cato Policy Report, a whole bunch of other stuff. So, like, this guy is a major player. He should not have crappy audio. So,
that's true.
If you know him, just send him to Creamy Radio Audio and say, Michael Dean said you need to get some better audio, man.
Yeah. And everybody who has followed your advice sounds a lot better now.
Yeah, man.
Very true.
It's not rocket science.
It's not rocket surgery.
Now, shooting is literally rocket science. I mean, ballistic tables and such. But, so go ahead. Tell me about the wonders of the Coignets in the kingdom.
Okay. Well, I made it a point to see certain people, and not just because they're these people, but I also was interested in the topics, and probably the one that affected me the most personally was Stephanie Murphy's talk on starting online businesses using Bitcoin technology and Bitcoin as payment systems. And she talked a little bit about, her story. She talked about how, she grew up in a family whose definition of success was, getting the right job, going to school, making good grades, not in that order, obviously, but,
she got a PhD and then she's doing something else than what she trained for.
Completely different. Yeah, she did. She got a PhD. She was planning to actually go to medical school and become a double doctor. She was going to get a PhD as well as an MD. Her interest was in disease research. She wanted to cure diseases. She was really very interested in science, and and she still is.
She was also a Freedom Fiends co-host for on and off for about a month, but then got too busy to do it.
Yeah, I knew that. And she's got a lot. She has a lot going on.
You're filling her shoes. we have a quota of women. No, we don't. But I do say that I've been like actively out trolling for women. No, actively like trying to get one or two more female co-hosts because I feel like there are a lot of people that have a lot to say, and it looks like Liberty to a lot of people is a boys club, and it doesn't have to be.
Yeah. But you know, and I mean, we actually, there were a few outside discussions about those kind of things about, you know, women in Liberty and how women often are singled out in a way as like, oh, let's get the girls' perspective on this kind of thing.
Yeah. Stephanie hates that.
Yeah, and you know, there was some talk about, you know, having having ladies only panels kind of thing, and you know, and it's just you know, it's like, okay, so what are we going to talk about? You know, we're going to talk about makeup, and you know, what do they expect us to talk about? You know, it's like so you know, I mean, I think that there's just some weirdness still out there. And, you know, one thing I've actually noticed is on certain groups, in certain Facebook groups, I feel like face beef groups that women's opinions tend to get sort of ignored a little bit. It does seem to be a little bit of a boys club in some of those aspects, but guess I'll talk about Stephanie when we come back.
All right. Thank you for your service.
Thank you for allowing me to serve.
I just twist knobs on a mixer, man. You're the one that's showing up time after time doing it. Worms. We'll be back for hour two of the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market. Is the Freedom Fiends. Good morning, Sundance. Good morning, Belle Fouche. And surrounding environs. It's the Freedom Fiends. I'm Michael Dean, and my co-host is Diana Kyler. So,
hello.
Diana.
Hello. Yes.
So, you
hello.
Were.
Hello.
you were wanting to talk about your trip south to Floridian land to go to the Coins in the Kingdom event and all the inspirational people they heard there talking about decentralized, non-Federal Reserve controlled currencies like Bitcoin.
Yes. Yeah, it was all Bitcoin all the time, pretty much. And one of the talks that I heard, you know, I started talking about this in the last segment with Stephanie Murphy, and she talked a lot about her history, essentially, or her story. that was supposed to be a joke. Anyway, like her story.
Oh, okay, her story.
Yeah. and, you know, she talked about, you know, the expectations that were sort of put on her by her family. And you know, she kind of became, you know, she set those expectations for herself. I mean, she believed the hype that success equals these things, you know, equals, you know, good grades in school, equals getting into a good college, equals, you know, really becoming a doctor, essentially, and getting an excellent job and getting paid a lot of money. And, you know, she realized, you know, one of her dreams as when she was younger was that she really wanted to do something with her voice. You know, she knew that she had that aptitude with her voice. She does have a beautiful voice and, you know, had thought about acting and radio and that type of thing. But that kind of got pushed to the side because everyone told her she couldn't make money doing that. And I was told very similar things. You know, there were things that I wanted to do as a kid
One of them was being a rock star, and
I did that. So, it's overrated.
Yeah, and so you know, and there were various things that everybody said, "Oh, you can't make money doing that," blah blah blah. And I ended up going to community college right out of high school to study computer programming, which oddly enough, I thought I would hate, and I actually enjoyed it. So yeah, I mean, I developed an interest in computers, and you know, I was really into, you know, the kind of early, you know, adoption of, you know, PCs and that type of thing. And but you know, it was like, you know, I didn't, when I was a kid, it wasn't like I wanted to grow up to be a computer programmer. You know, there were things that I felt that, you know, that I wanted to do with my life that I felt would make me happy. And I never really pursued those things. And then, you know, Stephanie talked about how she kind of realized that for herself and, you know, decided that she was going to pursue what she'd always wanted to do. And that was becoming a voice actor. And so, and Stephanie Murphy does do a lot of voiceover work. And she's, you know, she's actually pretty successful at that. And then she talked about finding out about Bitcoin. And, you know, she got very excited about Bitcoin. And she did, you know, she learned everything she could. She read everything she could get her hands on, listened to, you know, tons of podcasts about Bitcoin. And so, you know, and as we know, you know, Stephanie Murphy is one of the co-hosts on, you know, Free Talk Live for one. And also she has a show on Let's Talk Bitcoin. And, you know, she's a very intelligent woman, and she's successful in her mind. You know, she's not making the kind of money a doctor would make, but she's happy. And that is really the goal. You know, the goal in life is that we're happy doing what we do. And that's my deal now. You know, for a long time, I thought, let me do all these things that others kind of expect me to do, and let me let that be my marker of success. But it really never was. And at this late date, I'm finally realizing that. And you know, I'm going to do what makes me happy. And so what she really talked about mostly was how to start an online business. And really what she did was she just gave a lot of, you know, basic entrepreneurship ideas. You know, several of them were, you know, personally interesting to me, but I'll just kind of go through the list. One of them was service-based businesses where you could go online and start a consulting business. You could start life coaching businesses. And any of these businesses you can set up to receive payment in any form, including Bitcoin. And there are a lot of different platforms that you can use for that. She talked about blogging. You know, you can put a tip jar, a Bitcoin tip jar on your blog. You can do YouTubing and, you know, obviously podcasts. And if you have your own site, you can, again, add a Bitcoin tip jar. You probably can't really make a good living at that. But
well, one thing is, and I think she does this and I do this, is have multiple streams of income, which is good for a lot of reasons. One is because it's great if you're smart and a multitasker and have talents in different areas. Mm-hmm. And the other is, you know, if something happens where one of your businesses gets shut down or there's a competitor that's taking your business or whatever, you still have all the other ones.
Right, right.
And
yeah.
You know, she does voiceover for money and she does well with it. Mm-hmm. She could immediately not do well with it though if one thing changed, and it won't change. But the thing is, my wife DJ, her voice sounds exactly like Stephanie's voice. It's uncanny to the point where everybody, like, people think that all the liners and ads on our show are done by her. They're done by Stephanie. They're done by DJ.
Right.
And people have confused both of them, spoken, you know, recordings of them for each other many times. Mm-hmm. But DJ doesn't sell. She doesn't do voiceover for money. We've done a little bit of that in the past, but I decided that I wanted to keep DJ's voice for branding my show. And DJ was fine with that because she has a job and doesn't want to be, you know, going off doing some other job on the side. Mm-hmm. So we're not doing DJ doing voiceover for hire anymore. Partially because Stephanie is doing it for hire now too. It just seems like too much. It would be too saturated of a market.
Yeah, well, with two people whose voice sounds very similar. But am
I really branding it with DJ's voice if people think it's Stephanie's voice?
That's true.
don't know. Yeah. Good point. Anyway, and you know, I think that's a really good idea, because I you know, one of the problems that I know that I have in regular work is I get bored. You know, it's like I'm doing the same thing day in and day out, and I get bored, and I only get excited when something new comes along that, you know, I can learn and that type of thing. So this, you know, something like this, I think would be, for me anyway, perfect, because, you know, one of the things that she talked about, you know, in the service-based businesses was copy editing. And I think I would be really good at that, because I'm extremely nitpicky, especially when it comes to grammar and punctuation and sentence structure and things like that. But I think that I would get, that would become tedious for me after a while.
It's also, like it's a very competitive industry, because it's very easy for people to do that remotely. It was one of the first things that people started doing for money over the internet, because, you know, before there was the bandwidth to send video or audio or, you know, large media over the internet, you could send text as soon as the internet happened, even on dial-up. Mm-hmm. So people were doing that really early on in the internet, and now it's kind of opened up to other countries, you know, English-speaking countries like Australia and India, where people are trained in English and can speak it well. Although I don't know if the average person in India could proofread English to the satisfaction of Americans. But also, I've been edited a lot. I've written books for pay and had editors and worked with them, and also done some paid editing of books, tech books mostly, for other people. Mm-hmm. And it's a real balancing act of editors are a love-hate relationship generally with writers or with publishers. Because, I mean, if you just go through and correct everything to the point of perfect English, you know, it's, you have to take into account the conversational tone of it.
Of course.
Whether it's advertising, whether it's, you know, a novel where it's, you know, street drug dealers talking.
Yeah.
And finding editors that can actually do that and work well with others and solve way more problems than they cause is kind of difficult to find. So there definitely is an outlet for that, but it's hard to find work doing it for more than, you know, 50 cents a page or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but yeah, I think I would be good at that, because I think I would be really, you know, I've definitely seen writings where there was a lot of, you know, slang used, but, you know, there might be a typo here and there that was not related to the slang or to the actual conversation.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Anyway, this isn't about me. We're not talking about me. We're talking about Stephanie. So, she also mentioned publishing. So, you know, if you're a good writer, you could write an ebook and have that published online. Sell it, obviously, for Bitcoin if you wish. Online courses, if you're an expert at something, you know, particular subject matter, you could set up an online course where, you know, you might, you know, put something out there that's for free, but then you could have like, do a little bit of an upsell where you would, you know, do something via Skype with them or something like that. She also mentioned games and applications, if you're good at creating those kind of things. So, yeah, I mean, she had a lot. And one of the things I thought was really interesting was the affiliate marketing, where, you know, it's kind of a, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine kind of thing. You know, like if you advertise for someone else on your site, you know, they can advertise for you, and that type of thing. So
I get requests all day, every day for people that want to do that with my sites, and I delete the emails.
Really? Why?
Because it seems like it would affect the integrity of what I'm doing. I'm not saying it would be evil. It would just make the Freedom Fiends into something that it's not. You know, it's like I get all these things all the time of people that like want to be a guest blogger or want to do this or that or trade ads or whatever. And I don't know, pretty much I don't want to advertise or pimp anything, promote or endorse anything that I would not endorse for free. You know, I don't want to do anything for pay that I wouldn't do for free. Not just with advertising, but that's kind of what I do with jobs too, you know, and with work that I take.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, Stephanie's talk was really, really good. You know, I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, again, it had personal meaning for me, because, you know, there was definitely some parallels in her experience as with mine. You know, I'm a late bloomer and I'm just kind of getting started with all of this, and she's been in it for a while. So she's definitely an inspiration for me. And if she's listening, I definitely want her to realize that. So then the other, one of the other talks was Brian Sovereign, who is also on Free Talk Live, and he also has a show called Sovereign Tech, which I enjoy listening to a lot.
He's on Free Talk Live on Sundays, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we'll be back after this trip to the market.
Sounds good.
More about people that are inspiring.
Interesting people.
Yeah. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Meow, wow, wow. Wow, wow. Meow, wow, wow.
Get that kitty out of here. All right. It's Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, talking to Diana Kyler.
Yo.
Talking about all the cool people she heard speak and the inspirational talk she heard at Coins in the Kingdom in Orlando. So tell me more.
Yeah. So, that was, I just got through talking about Stephanie Murphy's talk, starting online businesses using Bitcoin. And that was very inspirational, as I said. One of the other talks I heard was Brian Sovereign. He talked about the dangers of trustless reputation systems. And,
Trustless, we should define for people who don't know. Yeah. Trustless is not necessarily a bad thing. Like Bitcoin is a trustless system, basically meaning you don't need a third party person to verify, yes, this is a valid transaction. It does it on its own.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So trustless sounds bad, but it's not. It's actually very good. It's basically saying you don't have to have trust. So it just takes care of itself essentially. And Brian had some concerns and he expressed these concerns. And what I thought was really good about it was, I've had very similar concerns and I've not been able to articulate them, but he kind of did it for me, and so I enjoyed it. I do think that it was a little controversial because, there were a lot of the companies out there now, BitShares, BitNation, and Ethereum and others.
All the kind of Bitcoin 2.0 systems, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And, Brian's concern is that, these are starting out, these are trying to solve problems. They're trying to solve some of the problems that we have. A lot of the problems that we have, obviously have to do with, the Federal Reserve. We have problems with the state, and regulations and that type of thing. And I think that these companies have arisen, the Bitcoin 2.0 companies have arisen to solve a lot of the problems that we have in our systems today. What Brian's concern is that are these going to actually, we've thought about the problems that these are trying to solve, but have we thought about the potential problems that these could create? And he kind of looks at these as being sort of substitute governments, even though they're trustless, that his concern is that we're going to jump on the bandwagon of all of these and essentially place our trust in these companies, to handle lots of different things about ourselves, in particular our identities, and what does that mean? What's going to come of that? And he discussed something called the precautionary principle, which I wasn't really aware of that as a thing, but apparently it is a thing. It's basically, you that you do have to consider, with any new technology, you have to look at, it has to be thoroughly tested and thoroughly discussed, and scientists, experts have to look at this thing to determine, is this going to cause more problems than it solves?
There's a bunch of issues with that that come to mind for me. One is labeling something open source doesn't necessarily mean it's safe or good. Mm-hmm. For open source software to be vetted, people who really understand not only programming but the type of functions being dealt with, like if it's a networking tool, people who understand networking, or if it's a cryptocurrency, people who understand cryptocurrencies have to pour over thousands or millions of lines of code, mm-hmm. and vet it. And mm-hmm. so just saying that something is open source is not an endorsement that equals good or safe or you should install it.
Right.
Secondly, there seems to be such a rush to adopt the next big thing in the cryptocurrency market. And this was true. This was true in the dot-com era in the late 90s. I mean, this was true probably in the automotive industry at the turn of the 20th century. This was probably true in, you know.
People were not in a rush to adopt those things.
You're talking about Andreas's statement, right? Yeah. Well, but there were investors who were, you know, once there was money to be made, there were people. And once people see the magic of something. Anyway, any industry that's technologically disruptive has a bunch of people saying, me too, and coming up with a product. You know, right now you've got Ethereum, you've got BitShares. What are the other ones?
BitNation, MadeSafe.
MadeSafe. Now, the thing that I was going to say about all this is I see a lot of evangelism and people buying into evangelism to where the better product doesn't necessarily get adopted. The product with the most charismatic figurehead given the speech gets adopted. And we'll have more on that when we come back with this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Meow, 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 meow,
okay.
Meow.
Okay. Ah, it's Freedom Fiends. All right, so we're talking, Diana and I are talking about trustless systems, Bitcoin 2.0. Or, you know, Web 4.0, whatever you want to call it, the next generation of decentralized ledger type systems that will save and change the world. We went to the break with me saying how, you know, I had two big problems with these. One is how people believe that the term open source means you can trust it. No, it means if you have enough money to pay a bunch of programmers to spend hundreds of hours poring over the code, they can probably tell you if it's good or not. If it's a simple program, you know, a programmer could probably do it in an hour. But something that's as vast as a new cryptocurrency, you know, decentralized data sharing system is going to take more than one person in more than one day. Okay, the other thing is, like many things in this system, it seems to me like the best system doesn't always win. The system with the most charismatic leader wins. Good example. One of the systems, the alternative new systems that's getting the most talk and people investing money in it, like something like over $10 million, is MadeSafe. And I can't say MadeSafe is bad. I can't say there's anything wrong with it. I can say I heard their leader, the Scottish guy, I forget his name, I heard him say something insane that no CEO of a company getting people to invest should ever say. I heard him on Ernest Hancock's show. Ernie was really excited about it. Ernie was like, so I'm ready to go right now down to Best Buy and buy a dozen computers and start mining this stuff. If I do that, will I get rich? The guy behind MadeSafe said, yes. Yes, you will.
Oh, my goodness.
That is crazy and illegal. I mean, that's a promise that can't be ethically made. It also can't be legally made. I mean, that's like, you know, and I'm not saying, what I'm saying is I would not invest in a company where the guy running it would make mistakes that large on the radio when it's being recorded and there's a record of it. That just struck me as crazy, man. That's the kind of stuff that the SEO cracks down on. And it's also like, even in the absence of government regulatory bodies, it's something that nobody should ever take seriously and nobody should ever say. Anybody who invests money in somebody who's saying, yes, you'll get rich, is a fool with their money. And we know how that ends.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm not saying anything bad about MadeSafe as a product. I haven't vetted it. I do know that Ernie asked my programmer friend, Derek Slopey, the guy behind MeowBit, and he's the guy who's going to be doing FiendPhone. They asked him to vet the code. And the code wasn't even available, and finally it was, but there was like on their website at the time, and they'd already raised some millions of dollars. There was there wasn't even a white paper, like, you know, there wasn't even a 2 or 3 page like accurate description of what it was. It basically was a really flashy website that looked like, we will use magic fairies and pixels and the blockchain to revolutionize everything. I mean, you know, it would be as absurd as me saying, hey, invest your life savings in this thing. And you'd say, what is it? And I'm like, oh, don't worry, the market will provide. I mean, it was almost that vague.
Wow. Yeah.
So BitShares, did I say BitShares? I was not talking about BitShares. I was talking about MadeSafe.
No, you said MadeSafe.
Okay. Yeah. MadeSafe, yeah, MadeSafe is might be a great product. I just don't like some things I've heard out of the company and how they've been very vague, or were very vague at that point, and we're getting a lot of people to invest. Now, BitShares, on the other hand, I've done some work for. Their leader is not as charismatic. He's very technical when he gives speeches.
Daniel.
Brilliant. I think, from my dealings with them, I think that they could be the company that really have the thing that could do it and could work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they don't get invited to be the keynote speaker because the guy's not like, yeah, step right up. You know, it's not that kind of, charisma. It's kind of a softer, like nerdier, like really, really, really smart charisma. It doesn't use a lot of buzzwords, uses truth. And, but you know, unfortunately, I mean, think about it, like Linux is a better, operating system than Windows, but Windows was higher, you know, having ads on the Super Bowl. So it became the dominant operating system. So I would urge people to beware of those two things in cryptocurrencies and elsewhere. The first one, to recap, don't just believe that because something says open source, that means it's safe or good.
Right.
Secondly, don't necessarily go with the pony that has the flashiest showman. You know, examine the underpinnings of the car and see what's in it.
Yeah, just be smart about it. And, you know, I think the fact that there are all of these companies that are kind of arising at the same time, I do think that that's healthy. You know, I do think that, you know, competition in the market obviously is going to be a healthy thing. You know, I'm not thinking that one of these is going to be the ring that rules us all, you know, which, you know, Brian actually used that terminology as well. I think that, you know, if there's competition, you know, there's always going to be something to choose from. And one of the arguments a little bit against what Brian was talking about had to do with, well, you know, these are all voluntary. You know, aren't these voluntary? I mean, can't we, you know, use these systems at our will? You know, I mean, and kind of what he would say back to that is, you know, you've basically, you know, if you use these systems, you've given them your identity. And what's going to happen if you decide you want to leave that system? You know, if you want to leave that system and go, like, say you're using BitShares, you know, and you want to go with MadeSafe, you know, what happens to your identity at that point? And, you know, which was, you know, had been a concern of mine that he voiced. It talks a little bit about voting, you know, because there's, you know, a lot of these platforms have voting systems as well. And one of the things he said was that, you know, you think that it's anonymous, but it's really not. You know, that no matter how many levels of security that the identities could be cracked. So your vote is not really a secret ballot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and that in the analog world, you know, your vote is secret.
Well, so, you know, there's been a lot of talk of voting on the blockchain is one of the things that it could do. I mean, it could completely on a blockchain. It wouldn't be the Bitcoin blockchain. It could completely replace the cheating that can go on with voting machines. However, and it could be used in non-political voluntary voting systems, like, say, the members of a corporation voting on what to do with the stock or, you know,
right,
profit.
Yeah.
But there's been a lot of talk of using it for voting. We actually had a Freedom Fiends episode called something like, you know, why would you take the coolest thing in the world and do the squarest thing in the world with it? And we were talking about using blockchain technology for voting for leaders.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. And you know, the thing too about the doing decentralized automated contracts that execute automatically at a certain event trigger on the blockchain, that's actually possible now with Namecoin. Mm-hmm. It's just people haven't flocked to it for some reason, the way they mm-hmm. have using Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I also don't know why Namecoin didn't catch on for decentralized DNS. That really bummed me out. It still could, but actually BitShares is coming out with a way to do that too. And I'm voting on BitShares. I'm going to vote on the blockchain for BitShares.
Okay. Who's the better Bitcoin 2.0 company?
Yeah.
Vote on the blockchain for this. The other thing he talked about, obviously, is, you know, because the title of the talk had to do with reputation, is reputation. Basically, you know, the reputation system on those platforms is an ID system. And, you know, he referenced how, you know, any reputation system that's out there right now, you know, like with Yelp and Google and any of those can be gamed. And, yeah. you know, looking at the possibility of the same thing happening with reputation systems on blockchain technology. But, you know, one of the things that I've thought about and, you know, talking with a friend about it is that, you know, what if there's a reputation system where, you know, your reputation, the reputation that you carry, you know, weights, you know, your rating. So if you rate something, you know, how good your reputation is going to determine, you know, how important your rating is. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And reputations are, on the internet are easy to fake and easy to hide, and identities are easy to hide. And, you know, I really just always go back to the Ian Freeman thing about it. Like Ian Freeman from Free Talk Live, he doesn't care when people do like troll sites about him. He didn't even do anything when a white supremacist, really ugly hate speech radio show started and called itself Free Talk Live. Literally that happened.
Wow.
He didn't even write him an email and say like, hey, you know, there's already a show called this. He didn't even do anything. And, you know, other people were like, you need to sue them, or you need to send a lawyer letter, or you need to contact their internet service provider. And I'm kind of the Ian Freeman thing of like, I don't know. People know the truth, man. They know that if they tune into LRN a certain time of night, you know, this person's voice is going to come out, and you know that's Ian Freeman, or you know that's Diana Kyler, or you know that's Michael Dean. So like,
right.
I mean, it's not even a secure thing. It's not like, yeah, you know, it's encrypted proof that this is Michael Dean. It's like, it would take so much, you know, it's kind of like Bitcoin. Like Bitcoin, I heard a speech that Andreas Antonopoulos, how do you say his last name?
Antonopoulos
did one time at the Texas Bitcoin conference. It was great. And he said something to the effect of like, you know, somebody said, couldn't the government use all their computing power, like the NSA super cluster, to, you know, like break the blockchain? And he said, yeah, they could put all their computers, all the power of the federal government to work for one day, and they could, you know, they could double spend some Bitcoin, and then people would instantly realize what happened and not accept those coins. And the thing is, they could realize that they could use that same computing power to just mine Bitcoin instead. You know, they could actually make some money rather than spending a lot more energy, like trying to mess up someone else's money.
Right.
And it's kind of the same thing with us and our identity of being who we are, the Freedom Fiends mm-hmm. on the radio. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I suppose somebody could spend a lot of time like hacking into our show and then imitating our voice. But, you know, we'd instantly switch to a different IP address and say, hey, that wasn't us. And they, you know, instead they could probably just start their own radio show and do whatever they want on it and have a better time. So,
right.
And there's a lot of stuff that happens anonymously on the internet, you know, people bashing other people and saying lies about them. And it's like, I don't even care, man. You can do what you want. And, you know, people have published my home phone number before and my address. And it's like, nobody showed up at the house. And if they did, you know, they're going to, I answer the door with a gun in my hand. What's going to happen, you know?
Right.
But we'll talk more about the reputation on the blockchain problem and solution when we get back for the final redemption in the third act on the Freedom Fiends. Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
That went out on air. I'm a thin libertarian, but I'm not a thin libertarian. But I carry it well.
Yeah, you do.
All right. So bring us home. Redemption in the third act on Bitcoin 2.0 blockchain. Delivering cat food over the blockchain.
Yeah. So we were talking about Brian Sovereign's talk about trustless and reputation systems. And, you know, there are some concerns. You know, you mentioned some of those. You know, it's like just because it's open source doesn't mean it's good, you know, and safe, and, you know, and that it's important to know what you're getting into. You know, don't enter into any of these things lightly, you know, especially if you're brand new to all of this. You know, study, you know, read up on it, because you're talking about, you know, using these things for stuff that you would might normally use the government for, or normally use, you know, attorneys for, or, you know, one of the things that I didn't get a chance to talk about tonight is smart contracts. And there was another talk at the Coins in the Kingdom by Pamela Morgan. And, you know, when I'm on the show next time, I'll definitely want to talk about that. But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of potentially very, very good things that can come out of this. And yes, we should exercise a level of caution, but this is happening. You know, it's going to happen.
You said that during the break. You were like, this is happening.
It's happening.
I just love the way you said that. Like, I don't care what the state thinks. This is happening.
Dang right.
We're here. Yeah. We have blockchains. Get used to it.
That's right. And, you know, and I'm excited about it. I mean, I really am. Overall, you know, despite, you know, the concerns, I do think that ultimately, you know, competition in the market and the market, you know, just innovation and all of that. I mean, it's just extremely exciting, and I'm looking forward to what, you know, is coming next. And, you know, I heard, I don't know, maybe at another convention I was at, another conference, that even people that are getting into Bitcoin now are considered to be early adopters. And I was like, wow, you know, I didn't realize that. I thought if you were an early adopter, that means you were buying Bitcoin at what, 50 cents or something, you know?
I like that guy that we had on the show from there that said he had the most expensive piece of silver in the world. He had bought 1 ounce of silver for like, I don't know, what was it, 100 Bitcoin or 50 Bitcoin, like 4 years ago? Yeah.
Yeah. That was, I think that was the fella that does the Do a Bit of Good, the screensaver.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that too. But this is happening, and it is exciting. And with any new innovation, there's going to be issues and there's going to be problems. You know, Andreas Antonopoulos was on the show the other day and talked a little bit about how history is kind of whitewashed all new innovations, you know, that the car was invented and everyone was happy and there was much rejoicing.
The car wasn't even invented by Ford. The car existed. I know. He just put one in every garage with the government's help.
Yeah, pretty much. And electricity, you know, people were really afraid of wiring houses for electricity and what that would happen. And certainly things did happen, you know, but look, I mean, what would life be like today if we had, you know, decided to listen to the media back then and completely shun it?
Well, I'm amazed how the average statist has a double standard with private innovation and with things the government does. Like if, you know, the statists will hear something about Bitcoin, they'll be like, oh, that won't work. That one company got shut down and everyone lost their money.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, but they didn't get a bailout and the thing kept going. Whereas, you know, if they say there's terrorists in the Middle East, America has to go bomb the terrorists. That creates more terrorists, but we have to keep doing it to get rid of the terrorists. The average person will say, yeah, that makes sense. The government's doing it.
Yeah, the government's doing it. It must be okay. Which is, we all know, is not true.
Pretty much for every terrorist they kill, they create 50 more, because they generally kill some innocent people with whoever they're killing that they think is a terrorist, especially since they like bombing wedding parties. Ugh. And, you know, think about like the people who are just standing there who get killed, their families who've never thought about taking up arms want to go take up arms, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Very true.
But we have the truth on our side and we will prevail.
That's right. It's happening, people.
The nonviolent revolution of just not paying attention to the government until it just goes away. That's a simplification, but that's part of it, man.
Right.
Just don't co-sign it.
Nope.
Worms.
Worms.
Yeah.
Good times. Good times.
Thank you, Diana, for your service.
Thank you.
Have a pleasant week.
I will.
And the same to our audience.
Worms.